Evet, Okocha. Hier ist der Okocha. JJ Okocha. Immer noch. JJ Okocha. Noch ein Tier.
Und ich sage, oh, what a goal. Sunday Odyssey. With a wonder strike.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to the Nigeria Football Weekly podcast. Me, your host, Olu Oke. Yes, we're finally back, or I'm finally back after a 15-month hiatus. To be honest, I just had to focus on life duties and what actually pays me. You guys know this is a passion project for the love of Super Eagles. But yeah, that time's over now. We're back. I'm better. Today is episode 69, so thanks for everyone who's been rocking with me for the first 68 episodes of the podcast, and we're officially 2 days away from AFCON. Yes, 2 days away from AFCON. It's Nigeria's first tournament in 2 years after we didn't make the World Cup. So as you guys know, I'm buzzing, I'm excited. Yes, a little delulu, but that's what we're here for. So today, I'll be talking all things AFCON, going through Nigeria's prospects, our squad, previewing our first game against Equatorial Guinea, and also talking AFCON predictions. So just for everyone's note, we will be playing our first game this Sunday on January 14th against Equatorial Guinea at 3 p.m. Nigeria time, 2 p.m. UK time. And if you live somewhere else in the globe, just do the time difference calculation back. So starting first with, you know, the Nigerian national team, we officially touched down in Abidjan yesterday on Wednesday. And we had a training session straight away last night. It would not be a Nigeria preview if I don't start with our current manager and his record. At the moment, Jose Pesero has a 42.8% win percentage for Nigeria. He's played 14 games, and out of the 14 games, he's only won 6. So by any estimation, this is one of the worst managers we've had so far, and we all know why. I mean, prior to AFCON, we know what our previous games have been like. We just lost 2-0 on Monday in a pre-AFCON friendly to Guinea, even though it was an experimental team. Nigeria should not be losing to Guinea, with all due respect. Yes, Moses Simon missed the penalty and we rotated a lot of the squad, but that's not an excuse. Prior to that, in November, we had our first two World Cup qualifiers. One at home against Lesotho, we drew 1-1. Disgraceful result, having to equalize. And then 3 days later, November 19th, we went away to Zimbabwe and we also drew 1-1. Having to equalize. So really, really poor performances from Nigeria by any metric you slice it. Prior to that, in October, Jose Pesero took Nigeria to play against Mozambique. We narrowly beat Mozambique 3-2. And that was Nigeria's first friendly win in about 4 or 5 years. Yes, you heard me correctly. Prior to that, we drew to Saudi Arabia. Mind you, this is a Saudi Arabia team that had lost every single game under Roberto Mancini until they played the Super Eagles of Nigeria. So, I mean, it's just a shit show. All his wins, apart from the Mozambique friendly, all came in AFCON qualifying. So, you know, beating Sao Tome and Principe, Sierra Leone 3-2. But these are teams that you'd expect Nigeria to knock out of the park against. So, the jury's really out. So, I just wanted to caveat that before we get too excited. Yes, on paper, we're like Johnny Bravo. We got a very strong team, especially up top. But this manager, the jury's out. But anyway, hope prevails and remains. It's Nigeria. We're always going to support our team and we're always going to hope for the best. So looking through Nigeria's list that's been called up to AFCON. Goalkeepers, we have Francis Uzoho, as usual. Olusegun Ojo and Stanley Nwabali, who plays in South Africa. Defenders-wise, centre-backs, we have Shemi Ajayi, Calvin Bassey, Awaziem, Kenneth Omero, and William Troost Ekong. And then fullbacks, left back Zaidu Sanusi has been called up from Porto, and Bruno Onyemachi has also retained his place after impressing on the Pesero so far as the backup left back. Right back options, he selected Ola Aina and Samuel Osai Samuel, who's been playing really well on the Pesero, to be fair, at right back. Midfielders, Ndidi unfortunately got injured. Very, very annoying. But we've got Iwobi, Aribo, Franco Yeka, the usual suspects. And thankfully, he's also caught up Rafael Onyedika and also called up Alassane Youssouf, who I'm actually glad has finally been called up. And even though he was called up as a DD's replacement, that's someone that we definitely needed in the national team. And it's good to see some sense prevail. Strikers-wise, we got Victor Osimhen, Sadiq Umar, and Victor Boniface were initially called up. I will touch on the replacement soon. And in wingers, we've got Ademola Lookman, Samuel Chukwueze, Moses Simon, and the inevitable Ahmed Musa, who's made a grand total of 2 appearances this season, but somehow still gets called up and is called the Nigeria captain because we need leadership. Please, someone point me to any team that's a respectable national team who call up people when they have a great squad just because of leadership and because they're the captain. We want respect like the European teams and the South American teams. It's not happening. If you're not playing well, you don't get called up. But we know Nigeria zone is always a different kind of story. So anyway, Ahmed Musa is there for leadership. Replacements in the striking position. Victor Boniface, unfortunately, got injured while training for AFCON. Big miss, to be honest. One of the biggest misses, I think, so far. But he's been replaced by Terry Murphy. Terry Murphy has also played really well under Pissarro, to be fair. So I'm not too mad on his call-up. We also just heard earlier today that Sadiq Umar has had to withdraw from the national team. He's got a 3-week injury, so he's out of AFCON. I've heard rumors that Paulo Nwachu has been called up as a replacement, but I cannot confirm that right now. Left to me personally, I would have called up Gift Orban, someone who could play in the striking positions and potentially also work on the wings. You also want to give opportunities to the youth. Orban is someone who we've seen what he could do, and he looks like he's going to be a hot top prospect for the next few years. Onuachu, yes, he's doing well in Turkey, but we saw how he did in the Premier League. And I'm not necessarily sure that Onuachu is a big needle mover for what we need. But ultimately, that's what's happened with the squad. And although there was also worries around Kelechi Iheanacho's fitness, but it looks like all will be well on that side of things. Key points in the squad, Wilfred Ndidi being injured is a big miss, as you know. He is the de facto captain on the pitch for Nigeria. And this is the second time he's missing a crucial tournament or set of games, because he also missed the World Cup qualifiers against Ghana. And we know how that ended up. We're not going to talk about that. Victor Boniface's injury is also a massive one. This is someone with 17 goal contributions in the Bundesliga in 16 games. He's absolutely ripping it up for Leverkusen and has been one of the revelations in Europe this season. So I think his miss is a huge, huge one, because I also think he's also a very good facilitator. Any striker that has 7 assists in 16 games clearly is worth his salt. And he could have been a very, very good foil for Victor Osimhen. But let's not worry about things we cannot control. I've already spoken about Ahmed Musa. I don't expect him to play very often unless they're giving him, like, what I like to call charity minutes, maybe in the third group game, or if we're winning a game well and they need to give someone 5 minutes, we know that they will give Musa the cap so he could increase his caps, these 2 5-minute caps that he keeps getting. But story for another day. I almost feel like if Dele Alli played for Nigeria, there'll be some Nigerians that will still be clamoring that Dele Alli should be in the squad. Look at what he's done for the team. Because Ahmed Musa is still surviving off goals he scored in the 2018 World Cup, which is almost 6 years ago. But let me not talk too much. They say us in the diaspora, sometimes we don't respect leadership or the way things are done or understanding the Nigerian terrain. So let's see what happens. I honestly cannot for the life of me understand how Maduka Okoye was not called up. If Uzoho, with his minimal appearances for his club in Cyprus, could get called up, despite the numerous mistakes he's made for Nigeria and how often he's cost us, you cannot tell me Maduka Okoye, who plays in Serie A for Udinese and has actually played in their last 2 league games, cannot be starting for Nigeria. Never in my life have I seen fineboy privilege work against someone before. I don't know what people have against Maduka Okoye because he's good looking or the women like him, but they don't allow him recover from his mistakes like they seem to allow Uzoho. And I don't get it for the life of me. Uzoho is such an error-prone goalkeeper, but yet Maduka Okoye is nowhere to be found when he's technically Nigeria's best goalkeeper. So anything we get at AFCON in terms of goalkeepers, we should take it like that, if I'm being brutally honest. Adebayo Adeleye was also snubbed, another goalkeeper playing in Europe for Olorunleke Ojo and Stanley Nwabali. Now, you can't tell me those two are better than Adebayo Adeleye, but we know Nigeria, there's always politics involved in these things, so let's see. I also think Nathan Teller is unlucky to miss out. Yes, you could argue he's not playing as regularly as Boniface for Leverkusen, but that Teller spot, which was taken by Ahmed Musa, that's someone that you could give tournament experience already, leading up to the World Cup qualifiers, and you could help him embed and integrate into the national team. But rather, they claim Ahmed Musa should be in there. So I think Nathan Teller is very, very unlucky to miss out. I also do not understand the snub of Kevin Akpoguma for the national team. Nigeria called up 5 centre-backs, and you're telling me that Kevin Akpoguma, who starts for Hoffenheim in the Bundesliga, is not one of the 5 best for us. I don't buy it. Yes, you could argue that his commitment was a bit wavering until he was 24, 25, and he hasn't always made the best performances for the Super Eagles, especially when Grenoble Royal was playing him as a right-back. But I'm sorry, Akpoguma is better than Awazian and Omero. People will tell me about experience again, and Omero was at the last time he won AFCON. But you have to deserve your spot in the national team. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, we move. And for the NPFL, clamoring NPFL gang, I'm sorry, let's keep short on that one. Until Nigeria can show that they can mix with the big boys in Africa again, club continents, we've not had a single club in the group stage of the CAF Champions League since 2017. We haven't had a Nigerian team in the knockout stages of CAF Champions League since, I think, 2013. So what are we really doing here? No one's saying don't promote the NPFL, but you have to be up to scratch. You have to deliver. If the average Nigerian won't even watch you, it's for a reason. If we were performing just like the Egyptian clubs are performing or the Moroccan clubs, nobody would even mention anything, or the South African clubs. So I just wanted to touch on that one because it's really, really, really annoying. A few storylines that I'm looking forward to for Nigeria. Victor Osimhen, you know, the recently crowned CAF African Footballer of the Year, is his first proper tournament for Nigeria where he will be starting for the national, for the senior team. We all know about his exploits for the under-17 team, and he was actually part of the 2019 AFCON squad, but he only played in the third place game after we all know what Marius did to us. So this is Osimhen's first real tournament for Nigeria where he's a starting striker, especially after he missed the last AFCON, and we know how much we missed him, especially in the game against Tunisia. So, boy, am I excited. I don't care what Pissarro does or what his tactics are. As long as Victor Osimhen is on that pitch, I'm confident and I'm going to be excited and cheering on the Super Eagles. A few other things we need to look for. How is the attack going to gel? We've seen Lookman do amazing things for Atalanta this season and last season, but Pissarro is yet to figure out the best way to play him. So look out for that. And can Chukwueze also replicate his 2019 heroics when we played that AFCON where I remember him scoring against, I think it was South Africa or Cameroon. But Chukwueze had a very good tournament, so let's see what he could do. One of my biggest worries, we've struggled against Minnows. I've just ran through the results that we had over the last year from Pissarro. And for some reason, we don't tuck away the small teams. Any big team or country, they always beat the nonsense out of like small teams, and Nigeria, we're struggling on that end. Also, I'm intrigued to see what the midfield pairing is going to look like between now that Ndidi's not fit. Onyeka has been playing a lot of the games for Nigeria, but I'd like to see Onyedika get a run in there with Iwobi. I know in the last game against Guinea, they tried a 3-4-3. So let's see if Iwobi could play with Onyedika, but it's more likely to be Onyeka. Also, goalkeepers, we know it's the bane of Nigeria's existence. Our biggest problem, we have no good goalkeepers apart from the one which they refused to take to AFCON. So I would say just brace yourself for a few errors. It's going to happen. Hopefully I'm wrong, but let's see what goes on. And then centre-back pairing as well. Bassey and Ajayi have been favoured by Pissarro, which I understand. I think Calvin Bassey is our best centre-back right now, and he has to play. Ajayi, I can understand it for his aerial prowess, but I would personally have started or out of invited and started Akpoguma alongside Calvin Bassey. So let's see what's going to happen. Anyway, Group A preview. So Nigeria, we know we kick off this Sunday at 3 p.m. against Equatorial Guinea. And then our other games, we play the host Ivory Coast next week, Thursday at 6 p.m. Nigerian time, before rounding up the group stage on January 21st, which is a Monday, against Guinea-Bissau, who we also played in our qualifiers for AFCON. How did we qualify? Nigeria, we played 6 games. We were in a group with Guinea-Bissau, Sierra Leone, and Sao Tome and Principe. Yes, we won 5 of those games, and we lost 1. Although, it must be mentioned that we did score a 10-0 win against Sao Tome. So that obviously inflated our goal difference. So our two games against Sao Tome, we beat them 10-0 and we beat them 6-0. So even though our overall goal difference was plus 18, plus 16 of those were just against Sao Tome. Now, our remaining three wins were real struggles. Nigeria, we beat Sierra Leone 2-1 in Abuja in June 2022. Iwobi and Osimhen scored the goals, and we had to come back from being 1-0 down against Sierra Leone. And then we somehow lost to Guinea-Bissau on the 24th of March last year. I'm sure you guys remember that. So Nigeria, let's take time, because Guinea-Bissau are in our group, so we cannot afford to underestimate them. Even when we went away to Guinea-Bissau, we only beat them 1-0 courtesy of a Moses Simon penalty. So by all means, that's not the best result, but we'll take it. And then our only other win in the group, we beat Sierra Leone 3-2 away, courtesy of an Iheanacho last-minute winner. I'm sure you guys remember this. So although on paper it looks impressive, you won 5 out of 6 games and you lost one. When you think about the ways we won these games, it was by no means the most impressive once you remove those Sao Tome games. Anyway, on a positive note, Osimhen did top score in CAF African Cup of Nations qualifier. He had 10 goals, which was the best on the continent. The next best scored 5 goals. So that's one thing that we watch out for. We have to bank on Osimhen doing what needs to be done. A few predictions from me for AFCON. I believe the ones to watch will be Victor Osimhen, Lookman and Chukwueze. If our attack can click, we're going to be in a very, very good position. Iwobi needs to have a storming tournament, that's for sure, because he's still our creative outlet for the national team. And our centre-backs have to be on song. I'm also looking forward to Zaidu Sanusi coming back into the national team fold. I think he's a very good attacking fullback, alongside whoever plays on the right, whether that's Osai Samo or Ola Aina. In terms of our other teams in our group, so Equatorial Guinea, who I've just spoken about. No, that was Guinea-Bissau, forgive me. Equatorial Guinea, which is our first game on Sunday. They're currently ranked 88th in the world. They're coached by Joan Micha, who's been their coach since 2021. They qualified winning 4 out of their 6 games in their group. They finished second behind Tunisia on goal difference, so we have to be very, very careful. Their only loss was their first qualification game against Tunisia, which was in 2022. So that's a long time ago. And they also beat Tunisia 1-0 last year. So let us not underestimate them. Head-to-head against Nigeria, we've played Equatorial Guinea 3 times, and we've beaten them all 3 times. We played them twice in qualifying for the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, winning 1-0 away and 2-0 at home. And then we also played them in January 2018 as part of the African Nations Championship, winning 3-1. Key player, I mean, it has to be Emilio Nsue, top goal scorer in their history with 17 goals. And he also led them to the quarterfinals, miraculously, of the last AFCON. So Nigeria, we cannot take them for granted. Second team that we're playing, Ivory Coast, the hosts. I mean, we have to be wary about the hosts. Like I said, the game is on Thursday, the 18th of January. They are currently ranked 49th in the world, coached by Jean-Louis Gasset. He's been their coach since 2019. So, you know, that's a bit of a good amount of time for a manager. So we should have quite a settled squad. Although they did qualify as the host, they also took part in qualifying, finishing second in the group behind Zambia on goal difference. They won 4 out of their 6 games, but they drew away to Lesotho and lost 3-0 away to Zambia in June last year. So they feel a bit like Nigeria, where they can flatter the deceive despite their star players on paper. Head-to-head, as two giants of West Africa and Africa, we've played the Ivory Coast 27 times. It's pretty much neck and neck. Nigeria has won 8 times, Ivory Coast has won 9 times, and there's been 10 draws. We haven't played them at AFCON since our amazing 2-1 win in the quarterfinals in 2013 when we won AFCON in South Africa and Emenike ran riot and Sunday Umba scored the winning goal. But the last time we played them in any game was in a 2015 friendly loss with Salomon Kalou scoring the winning goal for the Ivory Coast against a largely home-based Super Eagles side. Key players for Ivory Coast, where do I bloody start? I mean, in defense, you've got Ndika, who plays for Roma, Kosunu, who plays for Bayer Leverkusen, Willy Bolly, who plays for Wolves, all are centre-back options. Serge Aurier is going to start at right-back. Wilfred Tsingo is another fantastic right-back who you're going to hear a lot about, because he's going to be playing for a big team in European football in the next few years. So their defense is sorted. They also have an incredible midfield of Kessie, Frank Kessie, who plays really well for his national team. Ibrahim Sangare, fantastic player, who also scored 3 goals in qualifying. And also, they got Seko Fofana, who led Lens to the Champions League last year as the captain before moving to Saudi Arabia. So, midfield, they are stacked. And then also, we're going to see what Pepe and Sebastian Haller could do in attack. Although it must be mentioned that their attackers, Pepe, Haller, Gradle, have all been struggling for form in their league so far this season. And then finally, we play Guinea-Bissau. As I mentioned, we played them in AFCON qualifying. So we have to be very, very careful about Guinea-Bissau. Although they're ranked 103rd in the world, their coach, Basiro Kande, has been coaching them since 2016. And that's his second spell. He also coached the team from 2001 to 2009 in his first spell. This is the fourth straight tournament in AFCON that they've qualified for, but they're yet to win a match. They qualified very impressively in Nigeria's group because they won four out of their six games. Their only loss was 1-0 against us with the Moses Simon penalty, which I just referenced. And their only draw was a 2-2 away game to Sierra Leone. And Sierra Leone needed an 87th minute equalizer. So we cannot afford to take them for granted. Head-to-head also, we played Guinea-Bissau in the last AFCON in 2021, which was played in 2022. We beat them 2-0 in our final group game after we'd beaten Egypt and Sudan. So I don't know if you remember the game when Sadiq Umar scored a goal and Troost Ekong scored the second goal. But we also played them in qualifying, as I said. So we lost 1-0 to them in Abuja and we beat them luckily 1-0 courtesy of Moses Simon penalty. So basically, all our opponents are all going to be tough and we cannot underrate anyone for any reason. The key player for Guinea-Bissau was also the guy who scored the winner when they played us in Abuja, Mama Baude, and he currently plays for Lyon. So he's by far their star player. So one to watch out for. Final thoughts on the group. Despite the challenges I expect us to go through with Ivory Coast, I'm not sure if we'll finish first or second. The jury's out. It all depends on our game against the Ivory Coast. But it is very, very crucial we finish first. If we finish first in our group, we will play one of the third place teams from Group C, D, or E, which will likely be Guinea, Angola, or South Africa. And then if we get through that round of 16 tie, we will play the winner of the round of 16 tie between the runner-up of Group B and Group F, which could likely be Ghana versus Congo or Zambia. So it's very, very crucial we finish first in this group. If we finish second, we have to play the runner-up from Group C, which is the group that contains Senegal or Cameroon. So ideally, we would like to avoid playing one of those teams in the round of 16. And then even if we got through that, we are likely going to face Algeria in the quarterfinal. So it's not rocket science to tell you where we would rather finish, so to speak. So that is it in terms of the group preview for our team. After the break, I'll be quickly going through the preview for our Equatorial Guinea game and who I expect to be the starting XI, and also touching on general AFCON predictions.
You are now listening to
Moving on to the exciting part as well, looking towards our game on Sunday against Equatorial Guinea. As I said, this game is at 3 p.m. Nigeria time on Sunday. It's going to be live everywhere, so look out for that. Anticipated XI based on what Jose Pacero did on Monday. It's likely he will play a 3-4-3 formation. We know Francis Zoho will likely start in goal, so look out for that. I expect a centre-back three of Semi Ajayi, Calvin Bassey, and either Troost Ekong or Omero to partner them in the middle of defense. I would say it's likely to be Omero, but let's see. Osai Samo will play as a right wing back, and Zaidu Sanusi will play as a left wing back. And I expect Alex Iwobi and Frank Onyeka to man the middle of the park. And in terms of attackers, I mean, Chukwueze on the right wing, Lukman on the left wing, but he could also play Moses Simon. And I hope that Victor Osimhen is definitely going to start. And I hope he flourishes and just gets the monkey off his back by scoring in his first proper tournament game for the Super Eagles. What are my score predictions? This game is going to be very, very, very tough. But this is AFCON. I don't want to hear no stories. So I'm predicting a 2-0 win for Nigeria, courtesy of a brace from Victor James Osimhen. So, moving on to general AFCON predictions for the other groups. Who are the teams in the other groups? In Group A, we've got Cote d'Ivoire, Nigeria, Equatorial Guinea, and Guinea-Bissau. Group B, we've got Egypt, Ghana, Cape Verde, Mozambique. Tasty, tasty group. Group C, arguably the group of death. We've got Senegal, Cameroon, Guinea, who've got Seri Gurasi, who's the top goal scorer in the Bundesliga. Obviously, you still got Naby Keita and Elias Moriba. And also Gambia are in that group. Gambia famously made the quarterfinals of the last AFCON. So they're no easy team to play against by any feat. In Group D, we've got 2019 champions Algeria. We've also got Burkina Faso, Mauritania and Angola in that group. Group E is also a very tasty one. We've got Tunisia and Mali, who seem to play each other every bloody time. Tunisia and Mali played each other in the last AFCON when the referee blew the whistle early, like 87th minute. And Tunisia also beat Mali to qualify for the World Cup. Mali must be sick of Tunisia at this point. South Africa are also back at AFCON, so they're going to be an interesting team in the tournament, especially with the chemistry of having all their homeboys players. And Namibia round up Group E. Group F sees Morocco, DR Congo, Zambia, and I'm not sure if they're tournament debutants, but they're finally back, Tanzania. So that should be an interesting one. Big games to look forward to quickly. Ivory Coast versus Guinea-Bissau, opening game. That's always exciting. Let's see what the hosts look like. When the hosts do well in the tournament, it kind of sets the tone for the tournament. So obviously, I'm wishing Nigeria the best, but Ivory Coast could finish second. You know, let them do their thing. Also, Mali play South Africa on Tuesday. I think that's going to be a big game in Group E, and we'll set the tone for that group. Next week, Thursday, Nigeria vs Cote d'Ivoire, arguably the biggest game of the group stage, if you ask me, based on the pedigree of the teams. I also remember when the AFCON draw happened and how everyone was like, whoa, when Nigeria got pulled out of the pot to be in Cote d'Ivoire's group. So that game is 6 p.m. Nigeria time on Thursday. And that same night, you got Egypt versus Ghana. That is a big, big game. We're going to see Mohamed Salah versus Mohamed Kudus. I mean, I can't wait for that one. That's going to be a great game. But hopefully Nigeria would have given me good news earlier in the day. Senegal also play Cameroon next week, Friday. That's going to be a big, big game. I mean, two powerhouses, both of the continent and West Africa. And we know Cameroon always do well in AFCON, so underrate them at your peril. And then lastly, as I've just said, another big game to look forward to, Tunisia versus Mali, which will be next week, Saturday. Yes, they meet again, so that's going to be an interesting one. Who do I predict to qualify from each group? Nigeria and Cote d'Ivoire out of Group A, Egypt and Ghana out of Group B. I know Comoros did to Ghana last year, but I mean, in the last tournament, but Ghana have good players. They should do the job. Group C, Senegal and Cameroon. Group D, Algeria and Burkina Faso. Group E, Mali and Tunisia. And Group F, Morocco and Zambia. We know there's four third place teams that also qualify. So I'm expecting DR Congo, South Africa, Guinea and Cape Verde to make it out of the groups too. Who are the favorites? I think there's realistically seven teams that could win the tournament. Nigeria, I mean, I know what I said about Jose Becerra, but we do have probably the best squad on paper, alongside maybe Morocco. Our strike force is just fantastic. And like I said, current African Footballer of the Year, Victor Osimhen, will be back for blood. So hopefully he could take us to glory. Senegal, current champions, and they were also runners-up in 2019. Very settled team, good manager, settled manager. So they have the know-how and the experience. So you can never underrate Senegal. They're probably the favorites outside of, if I remove my Nigeria hat. Morocco, great at the World Cup, but they struggle at AFCONs in general. We know they've only won it once, which was in the 70s. And we've seen some quite embarrassing results for Morocco. 2019, they lost to Benin in the round of 16. Yes, last AFCON, they lost to Egypt in the quarterfinals, which is no shame. But they should be there, thereabouts. Although we know AFCON is a very, very different tournament to the World Cup, especially because they have to play on the front foot rather than being on the back foot and defending. Cameroon always have a chance. They got the know-how. They got the experience. They won five AFCONs for a reason. Vincent Aboubakar is going to be playing again. Kyle Tokwekambi is going to be in there. And Guissa is going to be in there. Obviously, there's no issue with Onana and him saying he's going to fly one day before their game, which sounds absolutely stupid to me. But to each their own, you know, we'll see how it goes. Egypt, also one of the teams that could win it. Mohamed Salah, nothing else to say there. You can never count out the host, Ivory Coast, so let's see what they could do. Although they did not call up Wilfred Zaha, which I found very interesting. So let's see how they get on. And of course, Algeria always have a chance. I mean, apart from Mahrez, they got a settled team and a settled manager. And they've also recently got a few very talented French-born players to declare for their national team, with the biggest being Hossam Awa, who Arsenal won in a few years ago, and also Amin Guiri, who is just an absolute superstar of a player. So look out for that one. Apart from those seven teams, I think there's another six teams that could spring a surprise. Ghana, you can't really rule them out. They've got Mohamed Kudus, who's absolutely on fire, but I think they'll be quite short. Tunisia, always very good in qualification and very good at AFCON, but they're just missing that final piece to be as good as you think. But Burkina Faso, always a very good team, and they always have a lot of players in League One, but maybe it might be a bit too short for them. And then I think we should also look out for Guinea because of Guirassy. DR Congo, they've got a decent squad, and also South Africa. South Africa are a bit like Egypt, where they have a lot of players who are home-based. So they have that chemistry and that know-how. You could say they know themselves a lot more. So let's see for these teams. Who do I expect to be in the semi-finals? I expect Cameroon to be there. I think they'll beat Algeria in the quarterfinals. I also think Egypt will be there. I expect them to beat Morocco again in the quarterfinals. So let's see if my predictions stack up. From my predictions, Nigeria should play Ghana in the quarterfinals, which will be very tasty and an opportunity for revenge. But this is if we finish first in our group. And then finally, I expect Senegal to beat Mali in the other quarterfinals. So Cameroon, Egypt, Nigeria, and Senegal in the semifinals. Then I expect Egypt to beat Cameroon and Nigeria to beat Senegal. And that means that I expect Nigeria, hopefully, to beat Mohamed Salah's Egypt in the final. We're not in the business of not believing in our country, I'm sorry. On paper, we're great. And as long as Osimhen's fit, I'm going to believe, despite what the evidence tells us. Predicted top goal scorer and best player, I'm not even going to whine you. I think it's going to be Victor Osimhen. He must be chomping at the bits, especially after missing the last AFCON with his injury. 5 reasons I'm super excited. There's nothing like AFCON. I mean, what a tournament. Like, I'm even giddy as I'm talking. First tournament with the Nigerian national team in 2 years. So another opportunity to watch Super Eagles and see what they could do. It's Osimhen's first tournament starting. That's another reason to be excited. It's a break from the Premier League, especially me as an Arsenal fan. You know, I don't have to think about Arsenal for a bit. So that's another good reason. Another reason to be excited for AFCON is, whether we like it or not, despite the evidence, Nigeria is one of the favourites to win the tournament. So having that possibility of winning, which is higher than winning the World Cup, of course, I mean, the possibility is higher for us to win AFCON rather than win the World Cup. So we have to stay excited. In terms of other news, to just round up the podcast, in terms of TV rights, MultiChoice have now confirmed that they would show AFCON after initially saying that they wouldn't be showing AFCON at the start of the year. Star Times will also be showing it in Nigeria, so look out for that. New World TV from Togo got the rights for the rest of sub-Saharan Africa, particularly the Francophone countries. So if we have any French-speaking listeners who listen to the podcast, please look out for them there. And in the UK, Sky Sports will be showing all of AFCON, which is fantastic news. I believe BN Sports will be showing it in America, but I'm not sure. But I'm sure of all the other ones. And that's it for this episode of the podcast. I'm really excited to be back. And, you know, nothing gives me more joy than talking about Nigeria and watching the Super Eagles, despite the way they want to, you know, take away my joy. I'll be bringing you an episode after every game we play to review the game and to preview the next game. I'm so, so excited. And by God's grace, Nigeria will flourish and win this tournament. So go Super Eagles. We're back. Subscribe to the podcast on all places where you get podcasts from, and also on YouTube. Please spread the word that we're back. Social media channels, NFWPOD on Twitter, Nigeria Football Weekly on Instagram, and also on Facebook. And our YouTube channel is called Nigeria Football Weekly. Shout out to everyone. I appreciate all the listeners. I was looking at my Spotify Wrapped, and people still listened to the podcast last year, even without me putting out any episode. You know, I saw like someone watched listen in Germany and so many interesting countries. So thank you very much, guys. Peace out. Up the Super Eagles, and see you in the next episode of the podcast.